Welcome to today's episode of Journey to There, exploring the intersection between personal and business growth. And now your hosts, Tracy DeForge and Russ Reba.
Tracy, no quizzes today, no questions. I'm not going to catch you off guard. I just have a scientific observation.
I'm not sure which is worse.
I can't wait to get clarification on this episode. Now, yeah, I go over the show notes here that you send me. According to your show notes, if you're in a relationship and you get dumped in an undesirable manner, as a dumpy, the party who is getting dumped, yes. You can spill hot coffee on the forearm of your dumper, the party who is dumping you, and they will experience pain similar to the pain that you will experience when you, in the future, look at photographs of that former partner. If that's not a radio tease, I haven't heard one yet. Along with Tracy DeForge, who, as I'm looking at right now, has no coffee scalding scar on her forearm. So I don't know how you tested your hypothesis. I'm Russ Reba. This is the Journey to There radio show, online at journeytothere.com, available on iTunes, hot coffee not included, and can also be heard on Empower Radio, Fridays at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific. Tracy, what's the topic today that will be leading us to coffee torture?
Well, the first thing that comes to my mind now is, like, don't sue McDonald's if you get hot coffee on your arm while your boyfriend's breaking up with you. Okay, so first of all, I'll answer your question. And the topic for today is rejection or redirection. And just for super clarifying points, the article actually said that you can feel physical pain, not unlike hot scalding coffee on your forearm.
No, I understand
when
that.
When you get broken up with, but when, here's the twist that made the article pretty much newsworthy, if you will, is that when you experience actual physical pain and you recall it, then you don't actually revisit the physical pain. Like for example, Elaine, when she had her babies, she doesn't think about when she gave birth to them every birthday and all of a sudden feel like she's in labor again, I'm assuming.
No, she doesn't associate that pain once a year.
Right, exactly. But see, here's the thing. So with what might be considered a traumatic breakup, if you are on the receiving end of the rejection, then there's all of this physiological research that's been done that, like, certain smells, certain seasons. So if you got, like, your heart broken on Valentine's Day, how cliche is that? That every time that Valentine's Day came around and you smelled chocolate, that you could, like, really mentally, physically feel the pain in your heart
of that particular
breakup. And it's fascinating to me. And I can't say I've never been dumped, because that would be a big fat lie. I try to avoid it. But I do think that is just so interesting. But in our world of Journey to There, this is going to be such an interesting and fun, and we're really going to explore some personal and business growth this one. That's for sure.
All right. So rejection or redirection?
Yes, that is it. And the follow-up to that is, on the business side and the personal side, is the thought of just because you can doesn't mean you should. So that the idea behind that is that perhaps that you feel like you can, you know, just keep making this thing work. And this is obviously before the rejection part comes. But, and, like, let's just say that you're trying to get a new client, for example, and you're just really trying to make it a fit for this client to work with you, or you to work with this client. And they might want to work with you and you know it's not a fit, but you feel like, okay, well, I see the red flags, but I'm going to do it anyway. And that's why I always think about, like, no, they're not necessarily rejecting you, but you will get redirected into a path that you might not necessarily need to go down if you don't pay attention to those red flags. So it's a lot about just thinking through your decisions.
This popped up because this is one of the things I love about the show, the intersection between personal and business growth. And we talk a lot, almost 50-50, about how it affects our personal lives and our business lives. But the example that came up, and tell me if I'm on the right track, there is a client that I have in another country, And, you know, we deal through email. And in this case, it's for voiceover services. And he contacts me for voiceover services. And there was a situation where we did a whole project for him. And there was a miscommunication somewhere on his end. And basically, we lost money on our end, on my end, because we paid the talent for a job that she was directed to do, and he didn't pay us because he felt we didn't follow the instructions properly, regardless. So now, moving forward, we decided to reject him as a client because it was too difficult trying to get paid based on what his expectations were. And eventually, he changed his approach to it, and now he pays up front because he didn't want us to reject him as a client.
Well, now that's a happy ending to a first time shame on you, second time shame on me. So let's just hope you don't have a second time shame on me.
No, we were going to say no go, no go. We're not taking you anymore. And he changed his, behavior about the whole business process with it.
Well, and so you redirected your boundaries, or you set your boundaries, basically. You didn't redirect them. So you had your boundaries. He crossed them.
Correct.
You held true to them, and then he needed to redirect so that he could continue to do business with you, because if he had stayed doing the same things the same way, it would not have worked, which is an interesting thing that you suggest that, because the whole reason that I pulled this topic, because I don't know if you're listening, if you think this is interesting, but I always think it's interesting to tell you how I come up with these topics, because they're most often, if not always, real life stories of mine. So I was recently at the Fancy Food Show, which is one of the largest food shows.
That's New York, isn't it?
That is in New York City. It sure is. And it's one of the largest food shows in the world. It's an international food show for a client of mine who sells a food product. I think we've mentioned them on the air before.
Just the cookie guy?
Granny Pearl's Kitchen, yep. Right? That we took from the index card all the way up to the big city at the Fancy Food Show. So he has a lot of pride around his product. And I, without diverting the topic of the episode by saying this, it was a tremendous amount of work over 2.5 to 3 year period of time to get him to where he needed to be. And you want to talk about redirection and rejection. I mean, we would get rejected by manufacturers, and then we'd have to redirect the business. And then we'd get, so that, you know, even the trademark situation was a rejection and a redirect. So what happened most recently is that I was so excited because I went with him to support him in the role of this show, and there was and I'm not going to say who it was because I'm not going to speak necessarily fondly of them, but there was this big box retailer, and I want to say like big box retailer that wanted to pick up the cookies. Oh. And so how excited, right?
It's that's like, very exciting.
Gosh, that's going to be great. And we have some other big box retailers that we love working with, but this particular one was going to be new, and they pulled a total good cop, bad cop. So I got to say, this definitely comes on under the umbrella of just because you can doesn't mean you should. Because what happened was they pulled us in with this enticing, you know, they have X amount of stores and you're going to have X amount of product in each of the stores.
So this is a situation. Let me just set this up a little bit. This is a situation where you guys have the product, which is cookies.
Right.
And you're trying to get it into as many retailers as possible. This is a very large retailer, and this is a negotiation process. Where
it is. Okay. Right. And what you would be like, I guess I'm kind of mixing the emotional and the business side of this because it is personal and business.
That's what the show's based on.
Right. So the bottom line is they pulled, I'll just say me, they pulled me in, but the client was really excited about it too. But I was the one that they were negotiating.
And you are the consultant for the client.
Right. I'm the consulting for the client, but I represented him in this situation because it's a better area of expertise of mine because he's an architect and that's not necessarily his thing. So they get us very excited about it. And then they tell us a false number of what they think that they're going to purchase in terms of volume. And they ask for a very low price, like to discount the price. So we ran the numbers based on the volume that they said that they were going to do. We came up with a number that we felt was like a win-win. So then they brought in Bad Cop, and Bad Cop was like, oh, I think you must have misunderstood. We only meant like two boxes, not, you know,
not two crates.
Two crates or two pallets or two cases, even two small boxes of $9.95 cookies that we could and do sell next door.
Wait, you're not exaggerating. It was literally two boxes.
Yes. No, this is a true story, everybody. I'm not kidding. And the reason why I wanted to bring it up on the show is because of this, because there are a lot of people out there that would have done whatever it took so that they could have their product in this particular store. And they would have lost money. The relationship would have started off with a negative feeling. They would have felt taken advantage of, but they would have said yes because they wanted it so much. And then we were like, you know what? No. Like, we can't give you the lowest discount price that our biggest retailers pay for an order that's so incrementally small based on the idea that you might get us, you know, the second order could be XYZ, but they've already broken our trust on the front end. So why would we really even believe them, really, right? So that we just basically, you know, the client and I looked at each other afterwards and we were just like, you know, we could, but we're not gonna because we shouldn't. And we shouldn't for all the right reasons because we'll get another client that will be profitable. See, that would have been a lose-lose. They would have won, but we would have we could have the bragging rights of being in that store, but then we would have lost money or he would have lost money. And I think that's what happens to startups all the time. I think there's some predators out there and it just,
there's
my
so many
box. It just like
so
gets me so upset.
No, in the end, I would say you go girl with, you know, standing on your values and everything. And I love the story. If you didn't hear it in several episodes back, this architect had this ingredients for cookies and they were his granny pearls. And it turned into from a concept to a recipe to a cookie to now you're negotiating with big box stores. I love it.
Yes. And so the thing that I also want to go, so I love to also behind the scenes of all this because I'm sitting here talking on the show like we stood our boundaries and we've made the decision and we're not going there. And, you know, just because we can doesn't mean we should. We're going to go in their competitor. And all of that is true.
Sound
that
like a football coach.
But I will tell you that I literally, because I'm full transparency, after all of this happened and the it was over and we knew that we made the best decision, this is where the rejection part came in for me. I had to go outside and like walk around the block and outside the Javits Center, and I had to regroup my own self-esteem, if you will. Even though I did the right thing, I still felt two things. I felt like I had been personally rejected, which wasn't true. And then I also felt like that I had not done a good enough job for my client, even though I did an amazing job for my client. I did what was best for him, but I know
he really
wanted that deal. Oh, completely. He still talks about it. Like, I mean, if he was on this show right now, he'd be like, will you just stop talking right now? No, like, that's crazy.
If he agrees with you, you've done your job. Because remember, your customer would not be that big box store. Your customer is your client. It's the architect that makes the cookies.
Right, but I wanted to put that square peg in that round hole. This is emotionally. I wanted that to happen for him, so I wanted the square peg in the round hole, knowing that that wasn't ultimately the win-win-win.
Right.
And I'm just talking about the fact that it's hard sometimes to separate your personal feelings from your business decisions because you're so emotionally attached that I just felt like, how could they do that to me? When they came to me at first, they said this, and then they did this, and then my husband's like, it's a business, and I was
like,
I know that part. I just want to whine for a minute.
It's a little sad, though, sometimes the way business is done.
I know, but you know, here's the thing. I always look at the positive, and the positive to me, now this hasn't happened yet because this story is not very old, but there, when you choose to stand your ground, do the decisions that are right for you, even if you feel a little personally, you know, kicked to the curb, but you still, you know, you did the right thing in your head, heart, and your gut. That's how I always do my checks. I'm like, if it feels right in my head, it feels right in my heart, and it feels right in my gut, it is the right decision, no matter how complicated, difficult, or unusual it might appear to others.
Now, this is a recent experience, so you say this story's not over yet. Do you have a gut feeling that they may come back?
No, when I say the story's not over yet, I'm taking the positive outlook that because we said no to that situation and took care of ourselves mm-hmm. and took care of the company and I did the right thing for the business, then there's going to be another big box retailer that's going to be more equitable, fair, and profitable that will come as a result of that. And based on the size of the company, we may not have been able to handle two or three of those, right?
Right.
So if we're only going to be able to handle a certain amount, I want them to be the right people. And I guess I can say, sure enough, when I got back, 2 days after I got back and this all happened, I did get an email from a very large online retailer that everyone would know if I said so. And we're in negotiations right now. So yeah, we definitely couldn't have done both.
There's a lot of them out there. There's a lot. Now, how would you relate this as advice to, let's say, the small entrepreneur that's just getting started, or even the listener that is still working for an employer and maybe looking to get a job with another employer, how this would affect them as far as rejection?
Well, that's a great question because I want to answer it in twofold. So I'll start with sort of piggybacking, if you will, on what I was just saying. And that is a quote, because you know I love my quotes, that I came across when I was doing the prep for this show is by Steve Maraboli. Hope my Southern accent did not just ruin that. But the quote says, "Every time I thought I was being rejected from something good, I was actually being redirected to something better." So, like, for example, like we were, you know, we got the email from the big store. But
right.
But in terms of like, specifically, like if you're a smaller business, and what does that mean? There are a couple things, because one is it you really have to focus your perspective. And it's like that's not sort of a like if you do A, then B will happen and you'll get to C. But I can assure you, you'll never even get to B if your perspective is, if I had stayed my perspective of, oh my God, they don't like
right.
me, which I never thought they didn't like me, by the way. But if I had stayed in that, like I got rejected instead of we're getting redirected, then I would have, it would have brought me down, because if you choose to feel rejected, you feel bad. If you choose to choose redirection, then you feel hopeful. So do you want to feel bad about a situation, or do you want to feel hopeful about a situation?
So let me go back to the quote, because this, a lot of it is not just reading the quote, but defining your personality, because we'll say it again. Every time I thought I was being rejected, stop there. A lot of people, when they think they're being rejected, they automatically a switch turns on or off. So if they know and they read the rest of that quote or feel the rest of that quote, every time I thought I was being rejected from something good, I was actually being redirected to something better. So what that is, the second part of that quote is hope. So our listener needs to know that there is hope out there with rejection, and it's a way of turning something what you perceive as negative into positive.
It is. And just, I don't know about you when you were saying that, but when I literally say choose rejection equals feel bad, choose redirection equals feels hopeful, that makes me feel hopeful just saying it. Like, it feels better to say it
right.
that way. And the other thing, too, is that you can take that energy of that experience that happens. And I'm not limiting to this to just business. I mean, this could be a time where, let's say, for example, I have a really good friend of mine, and she fell in love with this particular house that she really, really wanted for her family. They were relocating, and she fell in love with this house, and she really, really, really wanted it, and it didn't work out. And it was one of those things where they got really close, and then there was this. I mean, it was like all these obstacles were put in her path, about 5 or 6 different detours, but she kept trying to, she wanted this house. This was the house. And it ended up not happening for her, and she did feel rejected because she thought she had done everything that they asked her to do, her and her family, and the mortgage was approved and all those type of things. And then it fell through. Well, really soon after that, the realtor that she was working with, a house went on the market that hadn't even been like advertised that it was on the market. It was just like amazing rock star house. And the realtor called and said, I seriously have the house for you. Like, you're not even going to believe this. And it was way better than the one that she thought she couldn't live without. So she, you know, redirected that. She was redirected and she's, you know, happy in her home right now.
And
so,
that's a good realtor.
And then the other thing, too, is that with the, I love that, you know, what you were saying about, like, if you're in a situation as an entrepreneur or if you're in a situation where you are employed, you're in a corporate situation or business situation where you want to get promoted, but you feel like you're getting passed over. You don't really know why that's happening. Or just in life in general, like if you just feel like, God, I just cannot find the one, which was my story for like a decade. So I'm really familiar with that one.
But that's all good now.
Right. But now I got two things. I'm coming back to that. So that's my teaser. But in this moment, I'm going to finish my thought, which is that open yourself up to feedback, because in terms of like the business situation and why you might not be getting promoted, or, you know, maybe you're that person in a relationship that all you ever do is you're always negative, right? Like the person's not good enough and they're not this and they're not that. And so nobody really wants to choose you.
Kind of like, hey, Tracy, maybe you need to stop whining and complaining so much.
No. That was never my story.
An example.
Right. But see, so if you're open to feedback, then what can happen is that you can then take in that feedback and you can process it. And your gut knows, you know, like if that resonates as truth to you. But a lot of times you're going to hear something that you may not necessarily want to hear. Like I could imagine, like in my early days of showing up at work late a few times, mm-hmm. more than I should have. That someone
it's
could
great.
Have
it's great. You
gently
laugh.
Said to me.
You laugh about it now.
Yeah, but it's so not funny. So I would not have the career today if this person hadn't said, perhaps it might be good for you to show up at the time of which your workday starts.
Now, wait. Now, let me rewind a little bit, because was this in the situation where you were kind of at the highest level of the office in the radio station, and it was somebody above that, or was it somebody below?
No, because that was my motivation to get to the top of the toppest level you could get to the radio business, unless you owned it.
Right, exactly.
Was because then I could set the. That's when I developed the whole. We all have our own rhythms of time when we're the most productive, because I was in management, so I could enforce that. But no, this would be my first job right out of college,
okay.
When I would show up with naturally curly hair, and I'd show up with my hair wet because I let it dry myself, and then I'd be like swinging in on two wheels like 10 minutes, 15 minutes yeah. late. And oh my gosh, we're not even going to go there about the fact that I used to have a bridge because I was missing my two front teeth, and one day I was late because I left them at home.
Oh, God.
Oh my God, yes, you're listening right now. That is true. I'm making it up. Okay, back on topic. So ask for feedback, but the most important success part of asking for feedback, if you want to see real change, is that you have to listen to it, you have to accept it, and you do not want to respond defensively. So for example, in that situation, we'll just walk it all the way through, providing I did have my teeth intact,
uh-huh.
that I would say, instead of saying, oh, well, I got stopped, you know, I was in traffic, there was a
no
fire
excuses.
Engine, or yeah,
no
right,
excuses.
You know? And which also reminds me of riding with of an employee of mine that we were also friends, but we were also in management together, and we were headed up to a station that was a little further out than where we were based out of. And the whole time I kept saying, well, if we just hadn't gotten behind this garbage truck, or if we just hadn't gotten this detour, whatever. And she looked at me and she goes, if you had just left on time.
And put your teeth in.
Yeah, no, yeah, that was a one-time thing. Yeah, golly. I wish I had a picture. I'd post it. I really would, but I'll save everybody that. But I do want to talk about, listen, man, I'm just trying to redirect my own energy right now.
All right.
I want to tell a story that's not about me for a change. How
right,
about that?
Quick story before we get to Tracy's takeaways.
Okay. So, well, I have a I have to tell the story, but then I have to come back to the story I promised everybody. So it might be two. I'll go quickly. All right. So the story I wanted to tell, to really sum this up in terms of maybe what you're hearing isn't always true, but you have to pay attention to your gut, or just because you can doesn't mean you should, or maybe it isn't rejection, maybe it's redirection. So this story, in my opinion, sums up the entire situation of this entire topic, which is, I call it the tomato crate moment. And it's about a story about a man, a true story, who did not have a tremendous amount of education, and he did not have a tremendous amount of financial resources. And in this day and time, if you're without an email address and you apply for a job, it's highly unlikely that you will get it. Well, at this story is based on when email very first came out, uh-huh. So it wasn't like a deal breaker necessarily, but it was something that you really needed to have to move forward.
Your own personal email.
Right. So this man was applying for a job in like a produce market where it was like stocking produce. And so he applied for the job, and they asked him for his email on the application, and he said, "I don't have one." And so the person that was interviewing said, "Well, if you don't have an email, you're never going to go anywhere in this world. You're never going to grow and be in business, and you can't work here." And just was very derogatory and very insulting. And so he walked out, felt rejected, was sort of like, "How am I ever going to get a job?" And so he was walking by. He really needed money. So he goes into the grocery store and he buys like a crate of tomatoes, and he sells them on the street, and then he gets his money back, and then he goes and buys more tomatoes, and then he sells them on the street. And then the happy ending of the story is that he built this entire food distributor empire. And to this day, he still does not have an email address. And people ask him, why?
Well,
he can't get one now. Oh, he can't now,
no way.
Right? But right. And so his answer is, I wouldn't have this. His answer literally is, "I wouldn't have this business if I had an email address."
So
so true.
And that's where I was going. If he did not have that interview, or if they said, "You know what, we've got five people in the running, we'll get back to you. Okay, thank you very much." Or even if he got the job, he would not be where he is today.
Right. So if he had had an email address, he would not have a food distributor empire. And that, you know, obviously that interview was very short-sighted, because
right.
he clearly would have been a great employee. But, you know, that's one of those things where you did not get what you thought you wanted, but you got redirected, and you have this amazing, like, gift tenfold that comes out of it. So my other story is so not even that interesting, so I'm not even really going to go there, except for basically it was just because I know someone's running right now with their headphones, and they're going, "But I really wanted to know it." So I'll just say in two sentences that just because someone calls you a commitment phobe does not mean that you should go against your head, your heart, and your gut and make a commitment when you know that's not the right person. Because I was in a relationship for a very long time with somebody that I was engaged to, and I could never set the date. And that relationship ended horribly, and I was rejected, and I did want to throw hot coffee on his arm and probably would today if I met him again on the street.
No.
Oh, no, I'm kidding.
No.
And but it was the best gift I was ever, 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 ever given, because once that all kind of got, you know, behind me, I met my now love of my life, and we knew each other for 6 months and we got married. So I was like, "How do you like me now? I do not have commitment issues."
Very cool. Very cool. I love it. I love it. And I love how we intertwine the intersection between personal and business growth. When we come back, we've got Tracy's takeaways.
Is the only thing keeping you from launching your podcast not knowing how? Let our award-winning team of veteran broadcasters relieve the overwhelm of launching, managing, and growing your show. You create the content and let the experts take the stress out of the rest. Contact us at produceyourpodcast.com for a free 15-minute consultation. produceyourpodcast.com.
Take your business personally. Journey to there.
All right, so we're talking rejection or redirection and Tracy's takeaways. What you got?
Well, I'm really going to be reiterating a lot of the points that we talked about, because they're so important. So I would just want to summarize by saying, like, just remember, first and foremost, it's all about your perspective around it. And choose rejection, feel bad. Choose redirection, feel hopeful. The other most important things is that others cannot dictate for you what you know to be true, i.e., I am not a commitment phobe. I stayed with the same company for 18 years. I am not a commitment phobe. However, what I mean by that is, so when you're in a situation and someone's saying something to you, what they may be doing is they may be mirroring how they feel about themselves and making their issue your issue. So they may have commitment phobe issues or certain stereotypes, right, or anything like that. And I mean, I was even told, what you're looking for is the Hollywood fantasy. It just doesn't exist. Right. And I'm thinking, you know what? For what I'm looking for, it exists, and I'm freaking going to find it. And I did. So don't let others dictate to you what you know to be true. And then the other thing I think that is the most important thing to take away out of everything that we've talked about is the whole idea of redefining the phrase, push the limits, and instead reframe it and use go with the flow.
Okay.
And what I mean by that is sometimes you just need to accept that it is not a fit. And I really mean that, like, about
Don't try to jam the square peg into the round hole.
Right. I mean, don't force an opportunity. Don't work so hard so it should flow. Step back, go with the flow, and allow it to flow instead of trying to force it. Like, if you're getting all these red flags, you're supposed to be going on a trip, for example, and you get a flat tire, somebody filling in for you for work, and then all of a sudden they couldn't do that anymore. Your dogs were supposed to be boarded, and the pet sitter can't do it anymore. Now, this is a true story that I didn't just make this up. This all happened to a friend of mine, like, last week. She was supposed to take a vacation to the Northeast, and all of these things happened before the trip. And I was like, you know, you might just want to not go. So redefine, push the limits, and go with the flow, because what's on the other side of it could be the best gift. It could be your tomato crate moment. So
Tomato crate moment. Well, thank
tomato
you very much. You gave me advice as well as our listeners. Now, I usually close out with a comment from our listeners, but I want to get a little warm and fuzzy and just thank everybody. I want to thank you for listening to the show. It has really grown exponentially, and we've got listeners all throughout the United States and Canada, but we've got listeners in Singapore, Ireland, Belgium, Italy, Vietnam, Kuwait, Jordan, France. I'm going to stop there. The list does go on, but thank you so much for listening to the show. Along with the amazing Tracy DeForge, I'm Russ Reba. We are looking forward to hanging out with you next time at the intersection between personal and business growth. This is the Journey to There radio show.
We hope you've enjoyed today's journey, and we invite you to visit journeytothere.com to download full episodes, find show notes, and connect with us by signing up for our newsletter. We want to hear from you. Give us feedback or ask any questions by clicking or tapping Contact Us. That's journeytothere.com.